We invoke the Lord's grace for the teacher and the student both. May the Lord protect us. May He nourish us. May we study together. May our studies be brilliant. May we not misunderstand each other. Om Shanti, Shanti, Om Peace, Peace, Peace. So we say peace three times because the problems can come from three directions. That's why we invoke the Lord's grace to be peaceful. One is from the natural disasters, like we had a mudslide a few days ago, right? So from the natural disaster, when we are studying the teacher and the students together, may there be peace. And then second peace is from the surroundings. May there be peace, because you want to study, but there is so much noise outside, and we can do the study, the student and the teacher. So we want Lord to give peace from the surrounding. And the third piece is for within. Everything is quiet. There are nothing else. I sit down, but my mind is so upset, you know, that I cannot study. So we invoke the Lord's grace to keep peace from all these three directions. That's why we say peace three times. I'm sure you, Dr. Mehta, have told you this before, but I thought, and this Om Sahana Vatu also we do, and that is also, we invoke the Lord's grace because there are certain things that we, you know, we plan everything. I'm going to go to the class and I will do this, I will do this lesson. But there are some circumstances, some things are unseen. We don't know how much we plan. Most of the time things don't happen the way we plan. So that's why we invoke the Lord's grace to do that. So I understand you guys are doing Kevalya Upanishad. So Kevalya Upanishad is specifically for meditation. It is meditation in that. In any Upanishad, there is a dialogue between the teacher and there is a student. So in this, there is a student whose name is Ashwalayana, and the teacher is Brahmaji himself. So Ashwalayana goes to Brahmaji, and all the Upanishad, the theme of all the Upanishad is Brahma Vidya, the study of the self. So in this one, he goes to teacher and he says, please teach me Brahma Vidya, knowing which I do not, you know, go through this transmigration, I'm all. So the teacher goes and tells him that to study this, you need three things. One, you need Shraddha, which is means faith. You should have the faith in the book, in the scripture. You should have faith in the teacher, and you should have faith within yourself that I can do it. You know, sometimes we have the faith in the scripture, we have faith in the teacher, but we think, oh, I cannot do it. It's so hard. It's so this. It's so that is required. So he said these three things you need. And then the next shloka, he goes, okay, you have these three things, but what you are asking it is you yourself. Is that what you are asking? That all happiness, all bliss, all that is your own nature, and it is within you. And you know, it's like we are looking for it outside, but it is within you. So then the student says that if that is within me, then how do I know? And then he says, for that you have to do meditation. You have to listen, you have to reflect on it, and then you have to do meditation. So I think that's where you are. And he's telling the student to meditate. So first he said, you go in a solitary place. I think that is shloka number 4 or 5. You go in a solitary place. There is no disturbance. There is no, you know, all your senses are all controlled. You close your eyes. So when you close your eyes, most of the, you know, ingoing things stop, right? So then you close your ears, you can't close your ears, but you listen, but don't think that is you. then you sit in a clean, you know, atmosphere. It's not there's so many books are sitting outside and so many things. So you sit in a clean place. Inside also you take a bath and all that, he says, and you sit straight. I'm sure which you do it every week. You sit straight, your head, neck and your trunk, they're all in one line. And you sit straight. So with that, all your organs of action and your organs of perception, they are both controlled. And then he told that, now what should I do? You control your mind, you know, you watch your thoughts. And then he says, then he tells him, this is you, this, that what you are looking for, that your nature or the nature of the Brahman is pure, it is ever pure, it is Vishuddham, and it is Shantam. I think that's where you are on shloka number 6. So we can read. There are 13 pointers he's telling about Brahman, that, and in this shloka number 6, and it is achintyam, avyaktam, anantam, rupam, shivam, prashantam, amritam, brahmayonim, adi madhyant, adi madhyan, madhyant, because it is adi means beginning, madhya means in the middle, and then it is at the end also. Anant, vihinam, ekam, vibhum, chidanand, arupam, adbhutam, adbhutam. So there are 13 pointers. These are, see, the scriptures can only point to the truth. And that's what he says, achintyam. It cannot be thought of. Achintya means that which cannot be thought of. I think that's what you did last time. That why it cannot be thought of? Because it is what which makes the intellect, with what we think, it makes it shine. Because of that, the intellect is working. So it is that consciousness, because of which the intellect is able to think. So it is like, I think, it's like if I want to know a battery in a flashlight, I want to see the battery. I cannot see the battery. The moment I take out the battery, the light is gone. The light is gone, then I won't be able to see it. This is, it's an example, but they say that this is achintyam because it cannot be thought of with the mind. Because, and also because it is unmanifest. Something which is unmanifest, you cannot think of. And that is the next one, avyaktam. Avyaktam means it is unmanifest. In that, I can think of an example of, you know, the water. You know, like water is H2O, right? Water is H2O. Everybody knows that, right? Water is H2O. But you can see the water. But once the water evaporates, it's there in the atmosphere, but we don't see it. It's unmanifest. It goes to the subtle form. So it's unmanifest. So that we cannot see. So because it is unmanifest, then only if it is unmanifest, then it cannot be seen. Only thing which you can see as an object when it becomes manifest. And something become manifest, then you can see it with your senses. Then it will become an object of perception. So when it's not an object of perception, then you cannot, then it is called, that's why it is unthinkable. It cannot be thought of. So that's when they say when it is in, you know, it cannot be thought of because it is unmanifest. That's why it cannot be thought of. Does that make sense to everyone? See, what can you think? When you think, so that means it is the subject. When something that you can think of becomes an object, Something that you think of is an object.
So it's something that has never existed in my mind. So it never existed.
It cannot be thought of by the mind. That's what they are saying. It cannot be thought of by the mind. It's not something. See, whenever there is a realization, anybody who realizes, it cannot be realized as an object. Anything that you realize with this instrument, the instruments that we have, body and mind, they cannot realize the truth because they themselves are inert. Only thing that they get consciousness makes them conscious. So that consciousness is what we are talking about. Imagine the battery, like I said, you know, in the flashlight. You want to see it, but you can't see it. I mean, that's just an example I'm giving you. You cannot compare it with that, you know, consciousness. But that is, if I want to see the battery, how will you see it? See, not just feel and all those, I'm not talking, but to see it. So like that. It cannot be thought of because it is unmanifest. Only thing you can see, if I say cow, what comes to your mind? Because you have seen it before, then the cow thought comes in your mind. The shape of the cow, everything will come in your mind. But if you haven't seen a cow, then nothing will come in your mind. It's the same thing. So that's why you cannot, that's why they say you cannot know it as something. Then if you know it as something, it will have a shape, it will have a name, you know, so like that. So if it has a shape, then it has come and it will go away. Then it's not permanent.
There are a lot of things that are unmanifest. You think of the soul, you know that it's there, but you can't see it and it doesn't have a shape.
What?
The soul.
Soul. Yeah, that's what we are talking about.
Selfless.
That's what I'm saying. It's soul, but we say the name soul, but
there are things like prana.
Pranas are again, whatever you know with the instruments of your mind and intellect, that is an object known. It is known. I know it.
Okay, I thought prana was like energy.
Prana is energy, yeah, but I am aware of that energy. Right? It's subtler than the body. It's subtler than the body. See, that's why we have gross body, we have subtle body, we have causal body. Gross body, everybody is aware of. I have this body. I have, you know, you can see. But then subtle body is, why we say it's subtle body? Because it's more pervasive. Right? So it's like ice is there, then there is water, which is much more subtler than ice, right? Then there is, it vapors, then it is much more subtler than the water. So like that, when we are talking about different bodies, and then this is even beyond the bodies. It's beyond the three bodies. It's beyond the five koshas. We also study the five koshas are there. Annamaya kosha, pranamaya kosha, that's what you are talking about. Pranamaya kosha and then manomaya kosha, vijnanamaya kosha, and then the last one is anandamaya kosha. So one is the gross body. Anmaya kosha is this body, which is made up of food sheath, we call it. Then there is a pranamaya kosha, which is energy, what she's talking about. We take the energy sheath, which is actually connect the body and the mind together. And then third one is manomaya kosha, our feelings and our emotions, and we feel that. And then comes the vijnanamaya kosha, which is the intellectual sheath. With that, the thoughts you think. And then after that is the, it's not that after that, it's like a layer by layer. It's the pervasiveness. It's everywhere. So
while we're talking about this, what is the difference between the Atman and the Jiva?
See, Atma is all pervading. Jiva is when that Atma is conditioned. When that it gets, the conditioning is there. It's like a room space. and a total space. Jiva is the room space. And when Jiva identifies itself with the bodies, like room space, if you think separate it, actually it's not separate, but the conditioning has separated it. The walls have separated it. The same way our body has separated. So when I identify with my body, I become Jiva. When I identify with the totality, then I'm Atman. And that's what we are talking about here. So all pervading. And that is the nature of this Atman. That is what we are talking about. So it says it is a chintyam. You cannot think of it because we have limited equipment. With the limit finite, you cannot know the infinite. I think that's the one I have written in the front, the saying of Gurudev. It says with finite you cannot know the infinite. So that is, and it is avyaktam because it is unmanifest. And then it is anantam. Anantam means it has many forms. Everything has come from it, it stays in it, and it dissolves in it. So it is anantarupan, many, infinite. Anant means infinite. It has infinite form. And because all this, what we see in the world, all this name and forms, they are his only. That's what they say. And that's anantarupam. It can be many, so many forms are there. Anantarupam. And rupam means forms. So this thing is, and when it says anantarupam means it is beyond time, beyond space, beyond everything. So it is anantarupam. And also in anantarupam, I remember this story, this bodybuilder. He was all the time, into bodybuilding and all that. So one day, he was little, not as intelligent. So he was standing in the sun, and the sun was behind him, and his shadow was going in the front. And he says, oh, that's my... So he's trying to catch his shadow. And, when he goes this way, it becomes small. This way, it becomes big. And then he's trying to run and catch his shadow. And then he gets so tired. And the same way what we are doing in the world, we are just running after different, these are all shadows. This is all illusory, the world. It's all temporary. We are running after it, but not knowing. And then this wise person comes and tells him, you just turn yourself the other way, towards the sun, and the shadow is gone. So that is the same way. We need to turn our mind towards the consciousness, towards God. Then all things. That is what we need to do in meditation. When our mind tries to go in outward, you just turn it towards inside. So see, even when we do the meditation, I will give that. When the thoughts are going, instead of your mind is going, then you turn your mind towards the consciousness. And you will see immediately your mind will become so quiet. Try that. So we'll try that. And then it is Shivam. Shivam means auspicious. It's auspicious. Auspicious, what does auspicious means? Auspicious means it's pure. There is no impurity in it. There is no impurity means like our mind impurities are calm, desire, krodh, anger, kaam, krodh, lobh, greed, greed, those are the impurities of our mind. Attachments, lobh, moh, like these are all our impurities. And the mother of all, or the root of all this is what? Ignorance. I don't know my true nature. And that is why I don't know I'm complete, so I want to be complete. So that's why I'm running outside, looking for everything. But the teacher comes and tells you, you are complete within yourself. You don't need to look outside. You are complete yourself. So that is what it means. Shivam means it is all auspicious. It does not get affected by the whatever is happening to the mind or whatever is happening in the intellect, it does not affect the Atma. It does not affect the Self, the Brahman. It is all auspicious. And then it says it's prashantam. Prashantam means it is very peaceful. Prashantam means peace, bliss. It's not the broken peace. See, broken peace is which you get it outside in the world. That is, you will be quiet for a while, then it goes back. So it is unbroken happiness, unbroken peace. That's what it means, prashantam. It is amritam. The next one is amritam. It is immortal. You know, it does not, because it hasn't born. Something which is, it is free from all the vikaras. What are the six, you know, modification that happens? Something which is first is born, then it grows, jayate, vardhate, it grows. You know, when the child is born, then it grows. Then there are changes in him, and then it becomes old, then it dies. You know, so like that. So these are the six changes, six modification that are there, which doesn't happen in the Brahman or in the Self or in the Atman. These are just different names they are used, but that's what it all means. Same consciousness is not affected by all these changes. So when there are no changes, it is always there, because it's never born. So only something which is born will change. So it is not born. So it is amritam. Any question in so far?
And I'm looking at the commentary.
Sure.
And the commentary talks about being the one without a beginning, a middle, or an end.
Yeah.
And then,
so that is the next one. The one without beginning or the middle and an end.
Okay.
So that will come next. Next is Brahma Yoni, then Tat Adi Madhya Antavihinam. It is without the beginning, because it is never. Beginning is when something has come. It has always been there. It always is. And it all the changes are happening on this changeless substratum. It's like the movie on the screen. There is a screen which is there. The movie is going on. There is a blood in the movie. There is a shooting in the movie. There is so many things are happening in the. Nothing happens to the screen. It was always there before the movie started. It is there during the movie, even though my attention is not there, and it was behind. And without that, the movie is not. So without that, this world won't. This whole universe of name and form are going on in that self, in that reality.
I can understand that. Yeah. This part, he says, that which is thus the very origin of the Creator, meaning that which existed even before the Creator was born to create the pluralistic world. What does that mean? And that which is unconditioned by time and place must necessarily be the one eternal factor. But when he says, meaning that which existed even before the Creator was born to create the pluralistic
world. See, Creator is again. See, Creator is Brahma. When it is saying the Creator, it is beyond the cause and effect. Creator himself is conditioned by the totality.
Okay?
See, I want to create something, right?
Yeah.
That is at the individual level. But then there is a total, everybody else, you know? So that is at the totality level. So that's when it is Creator, Sustainer, and there is Dissolver. Right? It is still condition. Yeah.
You said that earlier you spoke about how when you're meditating, if your one thought leads to a train of thoughts, to bring your mind back and still you focus on God Himself.
Yeah, you focus on this consciousness.
Okay.
What is it that will make your mind so quiet? You try it today when we do meditation. You try that. Yeah, when you just change it. It's like that guy who changed the direction of his... Yeah, that's really good. Even in Prashantam, there is a nice story if you want to hear, I can tell you. There is this sadhu. He lived in this village. You know, the sadhus, they used to monk. And he used to go to the village to collect the, you know, alms to eat food, back for the food. So he used to go, and there was this young girl who used to live in that village. And she fell in love, I think you've heard that story, right? She fell in love with the neighboring, you know, one boy there. And these two villages were not like friends with each other or whatever. So this girl fell in love, and then she wouldn't tell her parents because parents won't agree to the wedding. So she then had a relationship with him. She got pregnant. And she didn't say anything. So she went to this sadhu and she told him, you know, this is what it is and my parents won't, you know, agree with this. What should I do? So he said, he was, you know, realized master. So he said that, you know, meanwhile you stay here, you know. She didn't want to go because she got pregnant. So then everybody started looking for her. Parents were looking and they said, oh, she's here. The sadhu must be done something to her. So they started accusing. So this sadhu said, is that so? He didn't say anything. He was fine. It didn't matter to him because... So then afterwards, then she became pregnant. And they were very mad at this. They thought, oh, this sadhu must have, you know, done something. And he goes for alms. Nobody was giving him food in that village. And then he started going to the other village. He got food for her. He had to now, you know, get the food for the baby. Then afterwards, you know, the girl told the mother. The mother was, you know, like mom's heart is, you know, it always melts. So she wanted to go see the girl. So she went there to the ashram and she talked to her and she told the mom that this is not this sadhu, it is that boy. And they felt so bad. And then they all came and apologized to him. But still, no, he was still peaceful. Nothing mattered to him. So this is what happens, you know, once they realize. Then these things don't bother for us, because what bothers us is our ego. It's ego which gets, you know, either it is happy or sad, or somebody said this to me, somebody said that to me. It's our ego that gets hurt. So I thought in Prashantam that he said, is that so? Then he will go, is that so? Means at the end also he said, is that so? He was fine. It didn't affect him, whatever people told him. So they are beyond the pair of opposite too, you know. So it doesn't matter to them. So that would be a nice state to be in, right? So that's what they're saying. If once you realize your true nature, it's not something new. It is already there, but we don't know it yet. And every night when we go to sleep, we put our mind, our intellect, everything folds in. And we are one with that consciousness. That's why everybody wants sleep, right? Everybody loves to sleep. So in the morning when we wake up, back, our instruments all come back. So all our desires, everything comes back. But we don't know at night time. So in meditation, you are aware of that. Do you do meditation?
I'm starting to try.
Good. Because meditation is the only way. Otherwise, you know, you listen. But a lot of us, we say, oh, Swamiji, I know it. But I still see the differences. I still see. So he says, first you listen, then if there is a doubt, you have to clear that doubt. Doubt is like, you know, he said, it is achintyam. Why it cannot be thought of? You know, then you think about it. And when it, you should not have any doubt after that. And then you sit down and meditate. If you are meditating and you are then thinking, then you have to go back to listening again if you still have doubt. So that is what he says. Any other question you have? Okay, we can do the other one then. So you said Brahma Yonim, you didn't understand that. That is the next one. We did the Amritam, then it is Brahma Yonim. You see, here, like I said, Brahma Yonim, Brahma doesn't mean here the absolute. Brahma here means the creator. Like I explained, the creator is the one which is the total, you know, everybody's total creation expresses through that. So that is what it is. Brahmaji is the creator. So that it is even because of that Brahmaji is there. It is the womb of that too. It is the cause of that. It is cause of the ultimate cause, actually. That's what it is, Brahma Yonim. It comes. So that is what he's saying. And then it says, Tatha Adi Madhyant Vihinam, that which is beyond beginning, middle and end. So it is not, so beginning, beyond, it's not in time and space. See, time, there is a beginning. What is time is the distance between the two events. The time is something happened and then that is time. It is limited. See, when something comes in time, then it becomes limited within the time. And then space. It's because space also, because it's all pervading. So it is beyond space. So it is not in time and space, because only in space and time, there is beginning, there is middle, and there is end. Does that answer your question, Barbara? It is hard. These are hard concepts, actually. Yeah. These are not very easy to think of even. That's what Gurudev says. You need a subtle and a pure mind to even understand these concepts. So what we can, our sadhana should be is to make our mind more pure. How can we do that if this is not me? So by doing karma yoga, by doing prayers, upasana, by doing japa, by doing all that, your mind is becoming pure. Your mind is becoming single-pointed. And you need both clarity and concentration of the mind. Both single-pointedness. These are both necessary to understand and also to abide in that. So, it's like to see something which is very small. You need a special telescope, right, to see it. The same way to know the truth, you need a pure and a sharp and, you know, mind, single mind. So then it will come. Yeah.
Going back to what you said, and he says it here, that in the immature mind is made mature by a simple process of worship and concentration, mm-hmm. not a simple. Could you talk a little bit about worship?
Worship.
Worship. And how one does that.
So worship is when, you see, in our scriptures, in Vedas, the first portions of the Vedas, they talk about worship of the Lord. Worship means when you take a form of the Lord and then you worship it. Worship means you see an idol. What is the ideal behind? Knowing that he's all powerful, he's all knowing, Lord, and I am like, you know, limited. So that way your ego gets weaker, and second, you know he's all powerful. There is still a separateness there, but it will make your ego less. The worship is to glorify the Lord when you.
But in a way, it's also similar to praying,
yeah, same thing. Oh Lord, you are all powerful. I am, you know, I need your help. That is worship.
But to meditate.
To meditate is also worship.
Worship.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you mentioned about time and space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there anything called time? Time is just a
concept of mind.
Concept, right?
Concept in
just
the mind.
A, you know, interval between two incidents,
two events,
episodes.
Yeah.
When you think about it, you know, a million years ago and now, there is no difference at all. It's the same.
Same. And time is in the mind, actually. Time. So when they say mind, you know, so they say time is, you know, in the mind. So that's what they are saying in the... You wanted to know the time. You want me to talk about the time?
Mm-hmm.
Time is like you said, it is between the two events.
Mm-hmm.
So that much time. See, when I'm in meditation or at night, there is no concept of time. I don't know, I'm not aware of time when I'm in sleep. I'm not aware of time. So it is beyond time. There is no time there. Time is only when I wake up. But I just know I had a good sleep. Even in meditation, sometimes when you get so absorbed, when you don't know where the time went. Even Einstein said that, you know. So
you disappear.
Yeah, you disappear. The mind also disappear. Mind is not there. What is mind? Mind is just a flow of thoughts. When you stop that flow, it's like a river. When you stop the flow of the river, it's not a river, then it becomes a lake, right? If there is a water which is standing, is a lake. It's not a river. So mind is just a flow of thoughts. So you stop the flow, then there is no mind. And if you make that mind pure, it's like in the pure lake. You know, the lake is so, the water is so clean. You can see the bed, right? The same way you make your mind pure, you will definitely experience that bliss, that nature that is yours. So that's what happens. Sometimes we ask Swamiji, Swamiji, when you are here, everything looks so nice, everything feels so good. He says, it's like, you know, when the water is there is a moss on it. When you come here, it just moves away. And when you go back, it comes back again. So you need to continue doing what I'm... So continue, you know, like you all come here. It's very good. So this helps. You know, you keep coming, doing meditation, come for study group, and that helps. And that will keep on cleaning your mind. And on during whole day, you do, you know, prayer in the morning, gratitude, like that is also, you know, prayer. Upasana. Upasana also they say when you sit down, like what I do on Sunday, when you're coming, I'm doing the puja. So I am invoking the Lord, that it's in the idol. So I invoke, I put, you know, there are 16 steps in that. So you put your hand here, you say, Lord, you are within me. Then I invoke him in that idol. Then that idol is nothing but Lord sitting in front of me. So with that, with all your five senses, you are looking at the Lord, you are, you know, so that is why worship is done with, that's why meditation is very hard, because in that you're not using your senses. We are so used to using our senses. So in puja or in upasana, all your senses are used. With hand you are, you know, giving the bath to the Lord, then you welcome the Lord, then you, you know, offer him food, you offer him flowers, you know, it's like you give him a seat, then you give him, that's what, you know, at that time you're doing. So your whole, all your senses are involved in that. So that 1 hour you are with the Lord.
So bhakti yoga is the power of
God. Yeah, bhakti yoga is that only. Bhakti yoga, you say, Thy will be done. I'm nobody. In that, actually, it's not very easy. Bhakti yoga, also, you don't need to have the ego. In that, Lord is everything. So, bhakti yoga is beautiful, though. Bhakti is beautiful. You don't need, because we all know how to love, you know. But only thing is, we are loving, our love is towards the material gains, towards the, okay.
I was thinking about the previous point about cause and effect.
Cause and effect, yes.
Something that is there has been created needs a creator.
Yeah. That is why we look at the world and I see there is a world.
Who was the first creator, you know, because that is the biggest question to find, to realize that there is somebody who doesn't need to be created.
Yeah, that's what they say. Who created the world?
Exactly. Who was always
who
there?
Created? The Lord created exactly. The world. That's what they say, na? He creator. In when there is one consciousness, and that one consciousness, when it expresses through the total conditioning, it's like total conditioning, which is his own power called Maya.
Exactly.
You know. So when it expresses through that, so when it expresses as a creative power, it is called creator. When it expresses as a sustaining power, then because for sustaining, if you three, all these three, you know, creator, you will always see with Saraswati. Saraswati means she represents knowledge. So to create anything, you need knowledge. If I don't have the knowledge of something, I cannot create anything. So that is why you always see with Brahmaji, always Saraswati is there. You know, here, that one that is showing with the Veena. So you will see them together. Saraswati represents knowledge. Then to sustain anything, we see Vishnu is the sustainer. So Vishnu you always see with Lakshmiji. Lakshmi, because anything to sustain, even your house or anything, even this building, to sustain you need wealth. Right? So that is why it is given. And then for dissolution, which is not a destruction, it is a constructive destruction. I call it transformation. So for that you need power. So that is why Parvati ji is always there. So Shakti. So that is.
Could we think of the creator? The first principle, that doesn't need to be created, that it was always there.
It was all, that is what is, which
origin,
is beyond cause and effect.
And it's the origin of everything.
Everything. That is what
we
are.
The idea, the concept that we know now, the Big Bang.
Theory.
An idea, theory.
Yeah.
A kind of metaphor in a way, you know, connected.
Yeah, but Big Bang happened somewhere. There must have been something where it happened. So that is what is always there.
Yeah.
That is what we are talking. One without second. It is ekam. One with, that is what kaivalya means. One without second. There is no second there. So in that, that's what it is. So these are indicators. See, they can only indicate that something. They cannot bring and say, this is it. Because then it becomes an object of. Even to know that, then you don't run